Hello, I'm Lexi Maynor, host of Words of the Wise, a podcast that captures the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. If this is your first time listening, or if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode number 12 is a woman with 10 decades of wisdom, 101-year-old Vera Johnson. Vera has lived in assisted living for the last 6 years, and unfortunately, due to COVID, has been unable to see any members of her large family without a screen in between in months. This made for a very interesting but unique interview. As I zoomed Vera's granddaughter, Elaine and her mother, Vera's daughter, stood outside her nursing room window while on the phone with her. That meant that three generations of Vera's family were a part of this process. Hope you enjoy episode 12 as much as I did conducting it. Here is Vera Johnson.
So we have my grandmother.
Okay.
She's connected to my mom's phone.
Okay. Awesome.
This is my mom.
Hi, Lexi.
And I don't know if you can see my grandma through the window.
Oh, I see her. Hi.
Okay.
I can see you. Somebody waving at me.
Yes. Her name is Lexi, Grandma.
Lexi.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said something about it was a, I thought it was an older lady, but let's say.
She's a younger lady.
Okay.
Well, she's going to talk to you about kind of some of your experiences in your last 101 years.
I hope I get the answer. Okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Vera Johnson, and I'm 101 years old, and I feel good.
Good.
Most of the time, at least. So, okay. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. So, you're from Huntington, Indiana.
Yeah.
What did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Oh, my childhood. I had a pretty normal childhood. I had a brother and a sister. Well, I had two brothers, but my little brother passed away. So I had a brother and a sister, and we just did normal things. We lived in the country and climbed around in the barn, and we did a lot of work, too. I mean, we worked in fields and did things around the house. Well, like all other kids did then. I don't think they do it now, but... We did a lot of things around the house, yes.
Uh-huh. So, you grew up during the Great Depression.
Yeah. People always ask about the Great Depression. Well, I, myself, didn't really notice that much. Now, maybe my parents did, but I mean, we lived on a farm. We had plenty to eat all the time. We didn't suffer, at least I didn't, and the other ones didn't. I mean, the parents probably did some, because they had to keep things going and pay the bills, but I didn't have anything to do with that. I was just a kid, and so my life was the same during Depression as any other time, pretty much, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to ration for food then, or did you have, like, tickets for food and fuel?
Well, we had rationing. Yeah, you had to have tips for sugar and flour and shoes and anything, leather or some different kinds of food,
mm-hmm.
like sugar and flour. And as I say, I know we had those things. But we always had enough to eat, mm-hmm. as I remember. But, of course, I suppose that we had to shift these tickets around, probably. And so you could use certain things a third time, and you'd have to save things and watch out so that you could, you know, make things work all right.
Mm-hmm.
So we survived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, you definitely did. What would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
How to work and save and you know, arrange things and make them work together and how to save money and that kind of thing and how to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you only went to school up till eighth grade and then you took a commercial course. What did that look like?
Oh, that was just learn to type and to use shorthand. And that was mostly the commercial course stuff. And some math, a little different kind of math. I don't remember just how it was, but I know I didn't like it because I never did like that anyway.
Was it like bookkeeping?
Yeah. Yeah, it was more like,
What was your first job then?
Oh, about all I ever did outside of the home was just doing housework. At that time, that's mostly what girls do. Well, some of them went to GE, and a lot of young people went there, I know it. But I never did. My sister went there a while. But all I ever did was just relatives and people like that whenever they'd have a baby or some extra problems, we'd go out and help them if they needed help or wanted help. That's mostly what I did.
Didn't you work for a prominent Fort Wayne family at the beginning, before you were married?
Yeah, I worked for the Scentlivers. Scentlivers. They were the big beer people.
They had a brewery?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I worked there very long, though, because I didn't like it. So I told my folks to meet me at home, so I just...
You didn't lie, did you, Mom?
No, I didn't lie. I had to go home because... I remember Mom was sick a lot. Anyway, that's what I did.
So how did you meet your husband, Harold?
How did we meet?
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of a relative connection there, I think. Yeah, my stepmother and...
Unfortunately, the audio cut out a bit here, so I will be telling the story of how Vera met Harold. When Vera was just 8 years old, her biological mother passed away. Following her mother's death, her father married their young housekeeper, something that was quite common in those days. It was Vera's stepmother's sister who was married to Harold's brother. Vera then met Harold when she was just 12 and Harold was 17 years old. Vera told Elaine and her daughter after the interview that she thought he was so cute from the beginning, but she was too young to approach him at the time, since he was considered a grown man.
So that's how I met him then. And I guess we went to a dance one night, and that's all she wrote.
How old were you when you met him?
21, I guess about 21, yeah.
Okay.
I think we were 22 when I got married. I'm not real sure about that.
Yeah. How did you know he was the one?
Well, I don't know. I liked his family, and I knew some of them, and we always had a good time together, and this worked out, I guess.
Yeah. When did you get married? What's your anniversary date?
25th of June. I think it's 25th.
Mom, do you remember the year?
42.
Okay. So you and your husband were married for 65 years. What would you say is the key to a successful marriage?
Well, just talk things out if you can. You don't want to be fighting all the time. And we just never did that. He didn't believe in that, so... I usually agree with him.
That always works best, doesn't it?
I guess the best way to get along. We had arguments, though. Not too much.
Mm-hmm. So you had 14 kids. Could you name them for me?
Oh, now Linda, Claire, Dean, Larry, Marvin, Jim, Daryl, Darwin, Charlie, Julie, yeah, Mark, Jeff, Jerry, Jackie. Is that all? Yeah. Okay.
Oh my, that's amazing.
Now for the birthdays, Mom.
Yeah.
Birthdays. Killed a long time.
How old were you when you had your first child?
Yes, probably 23.
Okay.
Come on.
How about your last child?
42 or 43, something like that.
So 14 kids in about, 19 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Close.
What advice would you give on raising such a large family?
Well, I don't know. You just have to go one day at a time. Start out one at a time. I did have twins, so I had two at a time. But I don't know. You just do. That's what I always felt. When you gotta do it, you gotta do it. So that's what we did.
Yeah. I like that.
And the older ones helped, right?
Oh, yes. Everybody had to help do stuff. Stand on a chair to wash dishes. Whatever it took. I know people don't know how you do things like that nowadays because there's just no such a thing as doing like we did back then. So it's impossible for anybody, the younger people now, to know how things went then. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, we just did what we had to do. But we always had enough to eat, enough to sleep. And there was people back then that wondered how we found a place to sleep. And I know there was one teacher at the school just couldn't figure out what we, I guess she must have thought we lived on filled straw tanks or something like that on the floor. But we had beds for 3 months just like everybody else, I think. So we weren't any different. We not had all luxuries that other people had, but I think we lived pretty much like everybody else that we knew.
Mm-hmm. What lesson did you stress the most to your kids growing up?
Gee, I don't know. There was a lot of religion. There was a lot of praying together.
Well, yes, that is one of the most important things. There's God up there that you have to think about and follow and do the right thing all the time, or most of the time anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Oh yeah.
Cooperation. I think you instilled that.
Oh yeah.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work, and you got to work to keep things together all the time, or try to at least. I think we got along just pretty good for the group we had and everything.
What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Oh, just loving your kids and babies and just going along with things the way they need to be.
So let's talk about some funny stories. So the baby crib getting broken, what's that story?
What?
Do you remember the story of the baby crib getting broken?
The hook getting broken.
the baby crib?
No, I don't remember that one.
Wasn't that Larry? Wasn't that Larry's job? Breaking things?
Oh, yes. He was good at breaking things. Yeah, he broke it, like, off the end table. Well, he was just like a
whirlwind.
He was pretty good at knocking things around. He just never was very devil. About that,
yeah.
I guess he's doing okay.
Yeah.
He worked in hospital for a long time doing stuff.
You should tell her that almost all your kids graduated from college, too.
Oh, wow.
Yes, about some of them went to St. Francis and some of them went to Purdue. They all went. And we did have a Down syndrome daughter that had some problems, but we got along just fine with her, and she was really sweet. And she liked to do things, too. So we got along just real good with her. She Pathfinder. We had this organization here called Pathfinder, and they more or less took her over and helped her. And she was really good there. She liked that.
Yeah. What about the story of the twins using the Pond's Gold Cream?
What's that?
The twins. Remember when the twins were in your bedroom and they found your Pond's Cold Cream?
They creamed the bed and the dresser. They emptied the jar.
Weren't they trying to soften the furniture because they'd been jumping off the bed and they were trying to make the furniture softer?
I suppose. Yeah, they were jumping off the bed. I just don't remember a whole lot about that, but I know they did it, but the details I don't remember. And I know they greased up the dresser and that.
And the mirror and everything. Yeah.
They knew that Grandma used the Pond's to keep her face soft, and so that's they put it all together that way. That
oh my gosh, that's funny.
That was something. Well, you got a lot of kids around. They come a lot of different things
too. What happened with the house fire? Was there a house fire?
The fire itself didn't amount to much, but there was a little fire up on by the chimney up on the roof, and one of the neighbors happened to come by and saw it. Then we went and had to kind of farm out the kids to different relatives for while till we got everything smoke and the cleaning, and I just don't remember a whole lot about it.
The water damage was really extensive.
Oh, yeah,
the water was just made a mess. And I don't know, we stayed at Norbert several of it, didn't they? And who else, you remember?
I think Russell and Helen and Uncle Herm and Aunt Loretta kept
some who
weren't in school.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not the greatest time, that's for sure.
Yeah. What did that experience teach you?
I don't know. You mean about a fire?
Yes.
Well, you just got to watch out for stuff like that, I guess. I guess it was the neighbor who really put it out. But then we had a fireman come and but the house was a mess after that. So we got it. Maybe Claire knows more about that than I do.
Well, that's about it. It was such a mess, and you guys were trying to save as much as you could of the furniture and everything. And my one brother always tells the story that mom told him to stay in the house. And, you know, you usually say, get out of the house. Everybody else, get out of the house. She told him to stay in there. I don't recall that for sure, but I might have been in school at the time. I think I was. And so,
yes, because the principal at school sent older kids out to help take stuff out of the house. But I just don't remember too much of the details about that.
Selective memory, I think. Maybe you just wanted to get rid of that.
Yeah, that's understandable. So what would the Vera of today tell herself as a young mother?
What's this?
What would you tell the Vera of today, a young mother?
This is kind of a hard question. If you could go back and talk to yourself when you were young and raising your children, like what advice would you give yourself?
You just gotta go on with things the way they are. I mean, things happen differently. Why, then you just gotta go on with the way they are and help yourself. And, well, I don't know, do the best you can, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's what we did. We just tried to improve life as we could, as much as we could. Anyway, we're still alive.
So you had a dairy farm.
Yes, not a terrible people, but I guess that was our main thing, yeah.
So what did the typical day on the farm look like for your family?
Work.
Yeah.
What time
Everybody had a job, and they were supposed to do what they were supposed to do, and I don't know. I guess that's what we did, like everybody else probably does. Maybe they don't do that way now, but as far as I know, that everybody did his job, and sometimes you had to be urged a little bit.
What time did work start each day?
Well, I guess we got up early in the morning, like about, well, anyway, the parents got up about 5:30, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We got up in time to get ready for school and get your breakfast and that kind of thing, which was probably about 6 o'clock. Probably, I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of hard work. You and your husband received an award in 1976. Can you share what that award was for your farm?
Do you remember the blue sign that you got for the farm, Grandma?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that award was called?
Was 50 years, wasn't it, at that time?
Would have been 100.
Or was it 100?
It was 100.
I don't even know where. I guess Kristen got that, doesn't she?
Yeah. Elaine's working on a new one, though. I think it was the Homestead Award, Indiana Homestead.
Yeah, that's what they called it, yeah. We had three valedictorians in our family.
Oh,
we
wow.
don't have them anymore. And they all went to college.
That's awesome. You definitely taught them hard work. That's for sure.
One day.
The value of hard work.
Yeah. It takes work and planning and working together, I guess, to get things done.
Yeah. So your husband's mother lived with you kind of on and off for some time. Your family talks of the discipline that she exhibited. Could you give some stories of that?
Grandma Johnson lived with you, right? And then the family said that she was quite a disciplinarian.
The kids thought she was mean, but... she wanted the things the way she wanted them, but with all those kids around, why, that was a kind of real pain in the neck. But we got along, I guess. Sometimes it was pretty rough, but I suppose the kids could tell you more about that than me. They lived it more, right?
You have 35 grandkids, 38 great-grandkids, and one great-great-grandchild. What's your favorite part about being a grandma?
Oh, I just like all the little kids. I'm not a real gushy person, but I like the little kids and the babies.
Mm-hmm.
because I had my baby to myself. So I like to hold all little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And still got a couple of my great grands sticking on my water here yet. Always passing so I can see them.
That's great. So when did you become a bedside companion?
A bedside companion.
Remember when you used to relieve people who were caring for the really sick husband?
Oh, yes.
Wife?
Gosh, I don't. Yes, I guess I did do that. Yeah, I forget what you called that. Respite, I guess.
Respite,
right?
Yeah. That's
Well, I did that for Pathfinder, and I also did it for church. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would have been older, though, right? In your 60s or 70s when you did that?
Oh, no, I wasn't that old. I don't know.
Well, it was when you had your kids out of the home, so that would have been at least early 60s or mid-60s.
Well, yes, right? It would have had to be, yeah.
What did you learn from doing such a hard job like that?
Oh, I didn't. Some people were really nice to fit with. I remember one person once, I was sitting with her, and we were just supposed to be there, and so we would take a book or something just, and sit there with her. And she got all upset because I was sitting there reading, and she couldn't talk, so we couldn't talk with her. So I thought, well, what am I supposed to do, just sit here and look at you? Well, we got through that, too. I don't remember. I guess I just put my book down and just sat there.
Wow.
So that's what seemingly what she wanted.
So you're very active in St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church, right? Or you were?
Well, I would say very active. Yeah.
So what was your role there? Like, did you have a particular role or did you just attended regularly?
Well, I just did the things that organizations, if the church had things that had to be done, and whatever you had and they suggested or you could do, I just helped out with whatever there was to do.
Funeral dinners, remember? Funeral dinners?
Oh, yes. We did funeral dinners for years, and we did something else.
Something with Alder Rosary, probably. Helping with the fish fries and the dinners.
Yeah, we had, but we got a rosary society for a while, but that kind of fell through because people just didn't join anymore. And I don't know, we just did what we had to do.
Yeah. What has your faith taught you over the years?
Your religion.
Oh, I wouldn't give that up for the world.
What has it taught you, Grandma?
Well, I love God, and I wouldn't give up my religion for anything. I don't know. I guess that's always the way I feel anyway.
Yeah.
Patience, I think. I think you're pretty patient about waiting for God to answer your prayers.
Well, that too, yeah. Yeah, you got to have patience. You can't just say, I want this and I want that, and it drops right in your lap. It just doesn't work that way.
You've lived through 10 decades. So obviously you've been alive for many major world U.S. events. Can you think of like a particular time period or event that really affected you or your outlook on life?
Gosh, like what?
Like Great Depression, World War II, 9/11, Vietnam, like any of...
Well,
like,
that was a big shock, yes, but
assassination? Do you remember an assassination? Would that be any?
Oh, yeah. So that was, I think that was the biggest thing. Yeah. I think affected me more than the 9/11 thing.
Do you remember who that was, Grandma?
Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kennedy was president. Then later on, his brother got killed too for... I just don't remember all the details about that either, but I know they were both killed. And I remember seeing the shooting of a president That was quite a shock, yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember all the details about that, but it was a big shock.
Yeah, I bet. As you look back on your 101 years of life, who would you say, like, what people have had the biggest influence on you or impacted you the most, would you say?
Well, I just can't. I don't know. Well, I guess things that happened are biggest impact on my life.
Is there a person that influenced you on how to live your life?
I don't know. For some reason or other,
it's a hard question. It's
depending
on what aspect of your life you think of, I guess.
Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, that is a tough question. Would you say that you regret anything that you've done throughout your life?
That I've done?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I married a good man. I had a big family, and I can't regret that. And I think my life was pretty much ordinary. Yeah. I don't know, it may not be to other people, but I don't know. I'm still here.
What advice would you give to my generation?
Well, I don't know. They're so much different than this generation. Is just push button and get things done right now. And that wasn't that way back then. You worked at things until you got them done. Now you just find some electronic thing that does your job for you. Mm-hmm. Or I guess in a lot of cases anyway.
Yeah, so you would say to work hard and not rely on technology?
Well, yes, you got to rely on technology, but I don't know, some of this technology is... That just isn't my style, but then that's because I'm old and I'm just don't know how to handle this new stuff.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to me, give to a young woman?
Well, you got to go along with what the advancements as they come, I guess, because you just got to stay with the flow and do what people are doing and advancing and all the new things that come along, I guess you gotta go along with them. Mm-hmm. That wasn't necessarily my style, but that's the way it is. You gotta go along with it, I guess.
Just keep going along. Yeah. What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
Most important thing? Mm-hmm. That you need to believe in God, that He makes all things, He gives all things, He does all things, and you've got to ask Him for everything first. I don't know if you understand that. I don't know myself, but yeah.
So your faith.
I don't know quite what to say about that, but yes, I think you got to ask God for things first.
Yeah. What do you hope to be remembered by?
I don't know. That I had a wonderful family, and I hope they all continue to grow and be decent human beings as we go down the line, otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your family is your legacy that you want to leave?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, I got a lot of nice members in my family that have done some pretty nice things, and so I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hope they continue to keep the name on the top.
All right. I think that's pretty much it. Can you two think of anything else that you want to ask her?
I think you pretty much could.
I think you got all the things that I put in the form. I think those are some really good highlights. So,
I think so.
Thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you.
It was nice meeting you.
Yeah, you're pretty awesome. You're a legend. 101 years away. That's crazy.
What was that?
She said you're a legend.
Oh. Just an old lady.
You're humble, legend.
Yes, very.
Yes, I am.
Patient, hardworking, humble. These are three adjectives I feel describe Vera Johnson perfectly. Raising 14 children on a dairy farm, acting as a bedside companion in her later years, and being heavily involved in her church throughout her life, Vera advises all to simply keep going along with wherever life takes you. Vera has done just that for the last 10 plus decades, always asking God first. She now spends her days praying all day long, making it clear that her strong faith has been the foundation in which she has lived her life, passing those values along to all who share her family name. While she claims to be just an old lady, to myself and all, she is a legend.
So you got your license at the age 50?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I started driving the car.
Why so late?
Oh, kids were, that could drive were running out. So to the place where I was going to have to help to get people around to places to spend school and stuff like that. So, yeah, I finally learned to drive at 50.
Why did you wait till you were 50?
Well, because we had a whole house. Well, we had several. I was old enough to drive, but that time, well, let's see, how do I want to say this? Anyway, the older ones got to driving, but then when they started going to places where
it wasn't a priority when you were busy raising kids, was it, that time?
No, I had to learn to drive so that everybody could get where they wanted to go. I guess
What hobbies do you have right now? Like, what does your typical day look like now?
What does it look like now?
Yeah.
Mostly sitting here looking out the window most of the school. I can't read. I can't see well enough to read anymore. And so that's mostly what I do. Walk around, get a little exercise, and then they have I don't know. I just
debacle on in-person visiting. So, yeah, we would like to be able to get in on the other side of the window so we could give her a hug and a kiss. So,
yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, extra special.
Yeah.